Good evening, everyone. Good evening to those online as well. Appreciate you being here online as well. As we get started, will you bow with me for a word of prayer? God, our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and study from your holy divine word. We pray that we will learn things from our study that will let us live a more perfect life in your sight. Continue to be with us. Keep us safe and in your care always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Again, this lesson is basically on the book of Job. Some other scriptures are included as well. But mostly we talk about Job. So, but I'm going to start with the top of page 57. Does anybody need a book? Let me ask that. I don't think I asked that last week. We good? Okay. So we're going to repeat a little bit here at the top. I think that's wise to do that. So the obvious implications of three of Job's friends, in quotes, are unmistakable. He must be a sinner, or such terrible consequences would not have plagued him. Yet he will not admit to having done wrong. Job not only had answers to their questions, he also had a great sense of wit. As some of his answers show. Some of Job's sayings. These are simply a number of scriptures or verses in Job that the author has left a couple blanks for us to fill in. So the first one is Job 6:24. Teach me that I may hold my tongue and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. 7:6, chapter 7, verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. That's a machine, basically, that creates cloth and are spent without hope. The third one that he lists here is in chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, dispute with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. I think, I'm going to read that one on the contemporary. I think it's a little clearer, a couple of points he's making. So chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. And one. Job said, what you say is true. No human is innocent in the sight of God. Not once in a thousand times could we win our case in court. In other words, God has the answers, not man. Not man. Chapter 9, verse 20. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, in this case he means the word would be better translated innocent probably. So if I'm innocent or perfect, is the King James word, it shall so prove me perverse, crooked, twisted. There's other words you could use there. Wicked. Chapter 9, verses 25 and 6. Now my days are swifter than a post. That one I finally figured out, I think a word we might use there is runner. He's talking about people. Men who are running, they flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that has hasted to its prey. Chapter 9, verse 32. For he is not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment or court. So several of these verses relate. Are about talking before God, bringing cases before God. Chapter 9, verse 32. For he is not a man. I did that one. Chapter 12, verse 2. No doubt, but you are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Something they're not really concerned about, evidently. 12:14, number 8, 12:14. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. 13:15. Though he slay me, ye will I trust in him, and I will maintain mine own ways before him. Remember, this is the man, Job is the man that says, he's trying to think, these three chapters that are cited here, he's trying to think of what, going through a list, what could I possibly have done wrong that God would do this to me? Very, very similar in the meaning, yes. Right.
I say the same thing sometimes, but I have Jesus with me often on the factor of my faith. But they said that before they even crossed. So I was really impressed.
Okay, any other comments? Thank you. Thank you for the comments. Now, number 10, chapter 14, verses 1. Should be verses 1 and 2, I believe. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, pretty nice, and it is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Goes away. The shadow goes away. Number 11, the list here is chapter 14, verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? Not one. Nobody can. Number 12, chapter 14, verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. There, I believe he's talking about his change leaving this earth and going to dwell with God. He had some notion of that. Some other verses would indicate that as well. 16:2. I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters you all are. These three men and others, I'm sure, but these three in particular, they came to consult with him, try to make him feel better. He says they're what? Miserable comforters. That means they weren't doing the job. They were making him upset. All they could do is keep telling him, you had to do something wrong. For God would not allow this to happen to you. God would not cause this to happen to you even. Right. The only reason they could think of, a possible reason that he would go through what he went through, but he'd done something wrong. That was the way people thought. God would not do these things or allow these things if you had not done something wrong. You brought this on yourself by doing something wrong. And he keeps saying, look, I keep studying and thinking about it. I haven't done anything wrong as I know of. So he could go ahead, I guess he could go ahead and ask God for forgiveness for something he didn't think he did, but just to get him off his back. But he couldn't break that thought. He kept that thought in their head. But they were supposed to be come to see him to comfort him, to make him feel better in this time of trial. He called them miserable comforters. They didn't do that job at all.
Yes, there's like a double The compromise is...
That's right. They made it worse. They made it worse. They made it worse.
No, don't come over. I'm fine.
Again, these are his friends. These are his best friends, even. And they turned on him.
I like what Job said in chapter 2, verse 10. It says, shall we accept this? God shall not accept it. Both come from God.
Okay. All right. Good comment. Good verse. And what happened to his children? What happened to his children? He lost them, didn't he? Right. Right. And we'll see at the end of the book that things came out better for him in the end than they were in the beginning. Amazing. Okay. Number 14, 16, chapter 16, verse 4. If your soul were in my soul's stead, in other words, if we change positions, I could heap words against you and shake my head against you. 16:9. Number 15, 16, chapter 16, verse 19. I'm sorry. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. So my record is in heaven, on high. Six. Yep. Confidence? Yes. Yeah. He spent an unmeasurable period of time trying to figure this thing out. You would probably even say, well, maybe these guys are right initially, but he couldn't figure it out. There's nothing bad that he had done to cause all this grief. He had an adversary? Oh, yeah. Well, Satan was allowed to do things to him, remember? God said he could do things to him. He could try him. One thing you can't do, you can't take his life. He took everything from him, though. In the end, he lost everything. And then after that, he got everything back plus. Amazing. God can do anything. Okay. 16:22. When in a few years are come, then I shall go away, and whence I shall not return. 17:9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Number 18, chapter 19, verse 14. My kinfolk have failed. His kinfolk haven't helped him out either, evidently. And my familiar friends, that means closest friends, have forgotten me. Verse 19. All my inward friends, relatives, I believe, is what the best word to use there for us. All my relative friends abhorred me. That's got implication of hatred. You've got people hating me, thinking all this is my fault. And them whom I loved, I are turned against me. Chapter 19, verse 25. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. There's a song like that, isn't there? And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Number 20, 21:3. Suffer me. Yep.
And have that statement, I know that my name is. And you think the scriptures of the God will never leave us on
forsake us.
Just the book of Job when you are of your life. Like, I know my redeemed. I'm not alone. I'm not dealing with this thing by myself. Because the Bible says no good thing by myself. This is a great book.
It is. And you can, every time you look at it or study any of it, you can learn something new that you hadn't thought about before. Perfect. What a great example this man was. To not give up, not fail. Okay. Chapter 21, verse 3. Suffer me that I may speak. And after that I have spoken, mock on. Just keep making fun of me. I'm going to continue speaking the truth. 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold, pure. I'll be purified. Number 26:6. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. 23:26:7, chapter 26, verse 7. He stretches out north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. So there were people who thought the earth was hung on a string or something back then. But it's hung on nothing. There's a scientific fact that he worked in there. 24:27:8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? That he has gained when he taketh away when God has taken away his soul. Okay. And 25, the last one of these. For chapter 28, verse 10. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. Colorado River is supposedly the what created it. What are some of these recollections? Okay. From verse 29 chapter of Job. And we're just going to briefly make some comments on a couple of these. Job thinks of his life before all his tragedies and trials came. And what were some of his recollections? Good. Okay. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past." Yeah. I wish I was. Things were like they were before, in the days when God preserved me. And he continues going on and talking about things that happened that he was approving of. It made sense to him. And the next one is from the 30th chapter. Shows how he was disdained. Another word for that is despised. The word derision is used in that. Use of ridicule or scorn to show contempt. That's verse 13, is it? Nope. I know I wrote it down here. verse 1. Chapter 30, verse 1. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision. Remember that word? I looked that one up because I wasn't sure exactly. But the use of ridicule or scorn to show contempt. Again, they were telling him that he had done things that he surely done things that offended God. That he was not aware of any that he had any time that he had done that. To set with the dogs of my flock and be the sheepdogs. Okay. 31, chapter 31, Job has a number of ifs. The King James uses the word if there. If I counted them right, there's 18 of them in that chapter. So what he's doing is making a list, going through things. See, the first one is in verse 3. Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity or sin? Verse 5. If I have walked with vanity or my foot has hastened to deceit. Verse 7. If my step is turned out of the way and my heart walked after my eyes and any blot was clung to my hands. Verse 9, we'll stop with this one probably. If my heart had been deceived by a woman or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door. So this chapter is like that. If I've done this, then I deserve some of it. I deserve this punishment. But I haven't done that. And he says, oh, if I've done this, no. I didn't do that one either. And so he goes through that whole chapter with that kind of logic, trying to somehow in his mind get this get his mind wrapped around this. You know, verse 21 and 22, I wrote down, I want to see those two. Verse 21, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, when they sought me in the gate, then let my arm fall off from my shoulder and my arm be broken from the bone. He's saying, if I did this one, this is what should happen to me. Rip my arm out of socket and break the bones. That's kind of scary, isn't it? He said, I deserve it. If I've done what you guys think I've done, whatever it is, I haven't done anything, but if I've done it, I've done it. I could deserve a punishment like that. Physical, terrible, terrible physical appointment. But he said, I didn't do it. I have not done that. He took care of the fatherless, the widows, the poor. He was very good about that. Even when he was wealthy, he still took care of those groups of people. Okay, from chapter 32 and 7 through 37 is Elihu's long speech in which he vents the spleen. So Elihu is going to say some things that he thinks are correct. And in chapters 38 and 9, God asked Job some very hard questions to think about. After which Job said, "Behold, I am what shall I? Behold, I am vile." Oh yeah, yeah, right, vile. Behold, I am vile, despicable. The word I put in there could be. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Chapter 40, verse 4. God then asked him some more difficult questions in chapters 40 and 41. Job then said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. I know, God, that you know everything. You know what I've done. You know what I have. You know what I will do in the future. I know that, God. 42:2. In verse 6, he says, what's your word there? Abhor, or despise. Who? Myself. In Dust and Ashes. That's from his acts of repentance that he's put through. God then rebuked the friends of Job. For you have not spoken to me the thing that is right, and my servant Job hath. Verse 7. From verse 8, tell what these critics were told to do. So God rebukes these friends of Job. Why? They have not discussed this with God either, at all. How can you give this man advice when you're not communicating with God? Can't do it. Can't know that you're doing, that you're giving him the right information. So God had to let them know that they're not just, they're not the individuals that should be consulting him. They're not doing, don't have the right approach. Okay, I want to read verse 42:8. Yep. Chapter 42, verse 8. We're almost at the end of the book. Therefore, take to you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Sounds like a sacrifice might be going on. And go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. He's consulting them now. For him will I accept. Job is still in God's good graces. Lest I deal with you after your folly, your silliness, in that you have not spoken of me, of the thing which is right, like my servant Job. You are not giving him the advice that I would give him. You're not doing it. You're acting as friends, but you're really just protecting yourselves. 42:10, we find the turning point of Job's life. What does it say? 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. I got a footnote here. It says the Lord returned his fortune, restored his fortune, and he gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. Let's compare that. From verses 12 through 16, tell of Job's new life. Well, let's go over the old and the new, okay? So, first thing he's got listed here are the animals that he owned. And the first one is the sheep. So how many did he have before? 7,000. And how many does he have now? 14,000. Which is twice as many. Remember that verse 10 just said he got twice as much? God even kept that down. Put those numbers down. Made those numbers come out perfectly. Next animal he lists is camels. He had how many before? 3,000. And now he's got 6,000. Oxen, he had how many yoke? 500 yoke, 500 times 2 that plowed together. So 1,000. Now after he's got double the number, twice 2,000. And she asses, he had 500 originally. So now he's got 1,000. Sons and daughters? Yeah, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He didn't change that one. He got 7 sons and 3 daughters again the second time. Which one of Job's friends was what? The bell means class is over. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's just quickly finish this one up. One reference is made in the New Testament to Job by name, and what is said of him in James 5:11. Let me get back here. James 5:11. Behold, you count them happy which endure. Endure, that's Job. You have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, or the result of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, kind, shows pity, and of tender mercy. Okay. So if we ever get to feeling sorry for ourselves, we would greatly profit from a view of Job's trials. Things are pretty good, no matter what's going on, if you compare it against what you have to Job. His life is foolproof that one can still trust in God when he does not understand why certain things come his way, and that by being intense pain, remember those boils he had head to toe, does not prevent one from thinking soundly or from keeping his sense of humor. And he did that throughout. Some people grow bitter toward God when things that they do not understand are thrust upon them. Maybe they had to bury someone very dear to them, and they felt that God was being unjust to them. Have we considered Job, God's servant Job? Think again at Job. Look again at Job 1:22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged or blamed God foolishly. I don't know if we have specifics, but there are many things that we don't know for sure the answer, but we can make some educated guesses a lot of times. But I don't think that things have been here. I don't believe that things have been here for 3 million, 5 million years. Some of these scientists say. Yeah.
And did we talk about that, how there were possibly dinosaurs on the ark? Why it didn't...
Well, any animals, animals from that area are on there. I don't know if they... I don't think there's any mention of it.
Did you talk about that on the tour?
I don't... We didn't do the tour.
Oh.
We just did a walkthrough. That takes you 2 hours or more to do. Just go through the walkthrough. Still worth going through, though. No matter what. It's built as a scale. You get a pretty rough idea how big it was, what size it was, and how many of each animal they took, so on and so forth. Show you. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for all your comments tonight, too, as well. So we'll be on the next lesson next week. Your lesson 12, lesson 11.
one of our jail books, page 848. That would be our song of the church. After marking that, please turn to page 791. What a song of delight in a city so bright, when we wander beneath heaven's fair gold. Our ransom will raise and cause in its trace, when all of God's sinners at home. When all of God's sinners at home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home, when all of God's sinners at home. As we see here on earth, on the sadness of earth, till the poor face of rapture will come. But our joy can't compare with the glory of prayer, when all of God's sinners get home. When all of God's sinners get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home, when all of God's sinners get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, we'll be heard in that land of the cold. Every heart will be light, and every face will be bright, when all of God's sinners get home. When all of God's sinners get home, when never a sorrow will come, there'll be no more place like home, where all of God's sinners get home.
Good evening. This evening, our invitation lesson comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27. It reads, "Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent." This is Apostle Paul. We can see here that he is speaking to their Philippian Christians, and he is encouraging them to live as Christians should live because of what Christ Jesus did. This includes us today as Christians. When we think about what Christ Jesus did, he gave up heaven and he came to earth and he humbled himself and he became obedient even to the death of the cross. So when we think about our conduct as Christians, the way we live our life, things happen in our lives, things that come upon us unexpectedly, we should always think to try to live worthy
of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. You know, we're living in a society where our attitude and our conduct will be tested on a daily basis. Most likely you've heard your attitude will take you up or down. I believe that attitude is a word sometimes that is often overlooked. I believe that attitude is everything. How we see things in life, our perspective of life, the things that we possess. When we think about our attitudes, are we really, really grateful? Do we have grateful attitude day by day? You know, because when we go to bed at night, we have no idea what the next day is going to bring. And whatever it is, good or bad, it starts with our attitude. So the thought question is, as Christians and followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, what kind of attitude should we have on a daily basis? I believe that we all will agree that as Christians, we should have a spiritual attitude. Most likely we all know the definition of attitude. Webster Dictionary defines attitude as a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking, which shows our disposition and our frame of mind. So in this short lesson, I want to share with you a few passages of Scripture as they pertain to a spiritual attitude. I think we all agree that our Heavenly Father is a godly Father. So as Christians, we should have the attitude. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, Paul wrote these passages of Scripture to the Roman Christians, describing our attitude towards serving God. He wrote, "Dear friends, God is good. So I beg you to offer your bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing." He says, that is the most sensible way to serve God. He says, don't be like people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to Him. We should have an attitude of praise. In Psalms chapter 147, verses 11 through 13, it reads, "Every king and every ruler, all nations on earth, every man, every woman, young and old, come praise the Lord, all creation. Come praise the name of the Lord. Praise His name alone." Church, we serve a holy God. Therefore, we should have a holy attitude. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 3, it reads, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord all-powerful, the earth is filled with your glory."
I don't hear anybody.
What about our prayer life? Shouldn't we have a prayerful attitude? Absolutely. We should always pray before we go to bed at night. And we awake in the morning. It always began our day with the Lord's Prayer, one of the most prominent prayers in the Bible.
All right,
our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 encourages us to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Church, by far, and the most important one of all, we must have a faithful attitude. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 reads, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to share with you a short Bible commentary about a man named Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, who endured the greatest suffering of all kind. He left his throne in heaven and he came to earth to rescue us. He had no sin. He took all the punishment for our sins. He died on the cross. He was ridiculed, shamed, betrayed, mocked, hated, despised. Yet, he was without fault. While he was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had the greatest joy of fulfilling his Father's will to seek and to save the lost. He is the greatest example of a man who had a grateful attitude that honored what God had sent him to do without complaining. Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 22, verses 42, he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. In conclusion, church, our attitude should reflect upon Psalms 118, verses 4. It reads, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. At this time, we're going to have a song of invitation. Today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. If there is anyone here this evening that would like to be restored, or you might have fallen away, you now have this opportunity and this time to come forward and let it be known. Thank you.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow.
Thank you.